for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, May the 25th, 2007. Dr. William Knoll is the speaker of this service, teaching on familiar spirits, their relations, sins of the fathers.
This morning I want to talk to you about a subject this afternoon that is sort of complex and sort of long-winded, but it is essential to understand if you're going to understand how demons work and how the magic arts work. And the magic arts are irreparably tied to demonic power. And I wrote a book on back there on rejection, which I would recommend that you get if you have not read it, because rejection, if you look at the drawing back there, you'll see that rejection runs in your life. And it affects every area of your life, and it opens your door to the enemy to harass you. I'm working on another book on magic, which is witchcraft, sorcery, and divination. And I go into rather complex of how it actually works and showing it to you in the Bible, and then how it is working in the church today, and how leaning on the flesh will lead you into demonic oppression and to witchcraft activity. And then I want to talk about the charmer. Today, though, I'm going to talk about familiar spirits and their relationship to sins of the fathers, and how the sins of the fathers affect you, the sins that your fathers, your ancestors, those things that run in your family, you know, like alcoholism, like smoking, like obesity, like diabetes, like high blood pressure, like heart attacks, like strokes, like bad temper, like greediness, like cutting, you know, sarcasm, cutting statements. So we're always like that. That's just us. That's just who we are. But you don't have to be that way. And why are you that way? Well, we can't help ourselves. That's just the way we are. My wife and I were going to marriage counseling, and we talked to this older psychiatrist, and he looked at us and he said, "Only the brain damaged can't change." And I don't think that you two are brain damaged, so you ought to be able to change the way you act to each other. Change. We had too many demons in us. We were driven by demonic power. It wasn't until we got deliverance that we were able to change the way we acted. And so today, we're going to talk about the results of the sins of the fathers and its relationship to familiar spirits. Familiar spirits. You know, familiar spirits are mentioned only in the Old Testament. There is no statement in the New Testament concerning a familiar spirit. And if you look up the word here in Strong's, it's a hollow sound. And the Bible says it's a hollow sound like blowing in a wine flask. And it's used of consulting with familiar spirits, to have a familiar spirit, to have a familiar spirit, or by a familiar spirit. These are the terms used in the King James Version, speaking of familiar spirits. And I read this, and I read this, and I said, "Lord, why? You got to show me something better than this. I don't understand it. And why is it only in the Old Testament? If it's only in the Old Testament, that means that New Testament believers don't have any problems with familiar spirits?" And I went on a fast, and I was praying. And I was in my bedroom one night, the sixth day of the fast, and a voice, I was about ready to go to bed, put the light out, I was getting ready to get in bed, and a voice spoke out of the darkness. And you know, it is strange when you hear a voice speaking out of darkness. And it said, "A familiar spirit is." And I said, I went back to 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, And it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Spirits that will not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh are the Antichrist. And so I said to it, confess Jesus Christ of Nazareth as the Son of God has come in the flesh, or be gone. And this spirit said, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come in the flesh, and He is my Lord. The familiar spirit is a spirit that you are familiar with, that you know, through whom you can manifest supernatural. It is a spirit that is familiar with you and knows you, has been assigned to your family line and knows you. I said, why are they only mentioned in the Old Testament? He said, every New Testament believer has a spirit that they are familiar with, through whom they can manifest supernatural power. That is the Holy Spirit. Every one of you are filled with the Holy Ghost and believe, baptized in the Holy Ghost. That is the power from above. That's the dunamis. Came down. He said, wait, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That's dunamis. You got that in you. You can commune with the Holy Spirit through the gifts of the Spirit, and through that you should manifest supernatural power. He said, they that believe will expel demons. We'll cast out demons, Mark 16. Pick up snakes and drink poison. They lay their hands on the sick. They will recover. They'll speak in new tongues. How many of y'all do those things? The Bible said you should do them. If you're not doing them, you need to ask God why. There are some churches that believe those gifts have passed away. Why do they believe that? Because they don't manifest in that church. That's why. They don't manifest there. So they say, man, that must have passed away. And they have all kind of, they have spiritualized it to the point. They say those don't manifest. So they have cut themselves off from the power of God. They're good people. They believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in the resurrection. But they've cut themselves off from the power of God. God would open their eyes. That's all I can say. I don't condemn them. I pray for them and ask God to open their eyes. Well, Augustine, the great Saint Augustine, when he was at the end of his ministry, he said he had never had a supernatural manifestation in his life. Angel manifested in his crib, in his little cell that he was in, that he lived in. A beautiful angel materialized in front of him. And he said, acknowledge that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come in the flesh. And the angel. And so a familiar spirit is a spirit that you're familiar with, through which you can manifest supernatural power. And that's what a witch has. She has a familiar spirit that hangs around her, informs her, she likes, comforts her, and she dispatches this thing out. I don't want to get into that. I won't get out today. That's not what I want to talk about. And there's no mention in the New Testament. My definition, in the Old Testament, God's Spirit was present only in those chosen vessels, seers, prophets, and certain chosen kings. Anyone else who manifested supernatural power was said to have a familiar spirit was stoned to death. Person who turns to minions, familiar spirits, to prostitute himself, Jesus. God feels like going to these people is prostitution. He calls it adultery. I set my face and cut them off. That means he's going to kill them. A man or woman who's a minion, has familiar spirits, shall surely be put to death. You shall stone them to die. Leviticus also says, suffer not a witch to live. You need to keep calling. I'll tell you about the missionary from Africa who prayed for the witch in her town. That's all he said. Suffer not a witch to live. The next day the man was dead. In the New Testament, now where in Scripture did it say spirits are assigned to you? If you open your Bibles to Leviticus 10:20, it says here, curse not the king, not in your thought. Don't even think evil things about the king. Did I say, yes, it's Leviticus, I'm sorry, Leviticus, it's Ecclesiastes, that's right. Thank you, Glenn. Curse not the king. You know, there's some presidents I've had trouble with that. You know, I do a lot of repenting. Because God knows your thoughts, the devil can't read them, but God knows them. Curse not the rich in thy bedroom, for a bird of the air will carry your voice, see, something you say. And that which has wings shall tell the matter. That bird there, if you look it up in the theological textbook of the Old Testament, it's a winged spiritual creature. It's not a little bird that flies out like a cardinal or a bluebird. It's a winged spiritual and carry your voice. My mother had all kind of little birds. I couldn't get away with anything. I'd come in and she'd say, "Billy, got something you want to tell me about?" "My little bird," he told me, and I wondered which old lady had been looking out the window. Man, you couldn't get away with anything in that town. All these old ladies, boy, they'd call your parents real quick. And that which has worryings is another spiritual creature. We'll tell the matter. And that's the one that this bird hangs around you, watching you, knows all your sin, everything you do. He don't die. He also watches your mother and your grandmother and your great-grandmother. And so he knows all the sin in your family, all the curses that have come down. And he knows your weaknesses. And this one has another one, and it tells that. And I believe now that this one takes it up in the second heaven and records it in the books up there. And the devil keeps a set of books on you. You know, in Revelation it says the books are open, and then the book of life is opened. And you're judged by what's in the books. Well, the devil keeps books on you. So he'll know your sin. Because he can't torment you in areas that you have not sinned. He has to have legal grounds to torment you. And so these things, they're watching you in the recording, all your sin. That's what it says, whenever you bind on this earth will have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on this earth will have been loosed in heaven. That word loose also means to destroy. You know, it says, for this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, he might destroy the works of the devil. That word's loosed. He might loose the works of the devil. And so I feel that when you loose yourself from him, something on this earth, those records up in the heavens are destroyed. They're wiped clean. The devil doesn't have that record anymore. He can't torment you on that area. Now, that's my personal interpretation. I've had folks argue with me about it and tell me that ain't right. But that's their problem. It's not mine. That's the way I read it. Praise God. Okay. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, goes through dry places, seeking rest, finds none. He says, "I will return to my house, which from which I came." And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. And he takes in seven other spirits. And then Luke, it says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it goes through dry places, seeking rest, finding none, I'll return to my house from which I came. That word house says an interesting word. It can mean a house like a structure, but most of the time in the Greek it means a household, means your family, like him. Acts 16:31, they said, "And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they shall be saved, and thy house," or household. In 1 Corinthians 16, "I baptized also the house of Stephanus," or the household. "And the saints salute you, chiefly those which are Caesar's household. Praise, salute Priscilla and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus." Now, you know he's not saluting any structure out there, and that's all the same word. And so that demon said he's going to go back to the family he's been assigned to, because he's not getting any rest out there in the world. He has gone out into the world. Now, you know, your body is 99% water, or 97% water, mostly water. And it's a nice, wet place, and he likes it. And he goes out there, and it's dry. And he doesn't get any rest outside of a body. Coming back to you, your body is 99% or 97% water, 99.9% space. You know, wall isn't solid. You know what? That wall's not solid. It's 99.9% space. You talk to any atomic physicist, and he will tell you that the nucleus is very small, got these big rings around it, just space. And that wall is space. And a spirit has a different body from you, and he can just pass right through it. And so they said, you know, "I'm going to go back to my house because I don't get any rest out here in the world." And so he goes back so he can get rest inside of a body. Now, if he can't get the body of a human, he'll pick a pig or a dog. You ever cast dog spirits out of anybody, Glenn? He's nodding his head for those people who don't see him. Unclean spirit finds no rest outside of a human body. And when it goes to dry places seeking rest, finds none. The unclean seek a body to find rest and to manifest themselves. Now, when a person dies, then the unclean spirits seek another body. Apparently, will remain within the dead body if a live one's not available. That's the reason, he says, anyone who touches a dead body of anyone, shall be unclean 7 days. Anybody who touches anyone who has died, who does not purify himself, defiles the tabernacle of God. Now, that is one of the strongest statements of uncleanliness in the Bible, according to the commentaries. That person shall be cut off from Israel, shall be unclean, because the water of purification has not been sprinkled on him, and his uncleanness is still on him. And this is the law, that when a man dies in a tent, all who come into the tent and all that are in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And it goes on and it says that all the vessels, and it talks on, and so when somebody was dying, they immediately went and took all the vessels, took everything out of the tent. And everybody except one or two family members stayed in the, got out of the tent. Because these spirits, you see, they're looking for a place to go. And they're looking for family members they got legal rights to. Does that mean that you shouldn't be around when your loved ones? I know. It just means you cover yourself with the blood of Jesus Christ. Cover yourself with the blood and say, Lord, cover me, Lord Jesus. I repent of the sins of my ancestors. None of these demons got any legal right to me. I was talking to a family last week. Mother was a practicing witch. She was a real legalistic. And as she got older, it became more obvious she bragged about her black magic and how she could control people. And she kept her maids in absolute terror of her. And when she died, her daughter was there. And they said, you know, so-and-so's looking, acting just like Mother did. And she's going back over the apartment where Mother died and weeping and strangling. Why? Because them spirits are over there looking for somebody to go into. They're drawing her back. So she's becoming more like Mother. The same controlling, sarcastic, controlling, manipulating person. Mother's only been dead 2 weeks. But yet they can see the change in Sister's personality. She was in the room. I tell the story of Miranda in the book on rejection. Miranda was that's not her name, but it's a pseudonym. I have to be careful because I don't remember what pseudonym I assigned to whom. I told so many stories, all of which are true. That one happened at this campground. Most of them happened in where I lived, and I had a ministry of deliverance 3 times a week, and I was able to follow up people over a long period. And that's where most of my stories come from, my case histories. Miranda was a gypsy girl. She got and grandmother was dying, and they called little sister, little girl, to her, and she was 10 or 12 years old, and he said, the spirits have chosen you to be the chosen one. Grandmother was a financial mainstay of this gypsy family because she could read the cards and the crystal ball, and she was a fortune teller. Made much money, like the girl with the spirit of divination. And so she told her that wanted to pass the family gift to her. Family and the parents encouraged this girl to accept the family gifts. When grandmother laid hands on her, something cold settled down over. And she personality changed. She became a fortune teller. She was watching Jimmy Swaggart on television and got saved. And she found refuge with a Christian family who brought her up him. It was my privilege to pray with her a number of times. The first time I prayed with her was we had so many folks in here. I was praying for her in the dining room, and I had her renounce that thing. And I we broke the curse of the demons that came in when the elders gathered around and prayed for her when they knew that mother was pregnant. They came and laid hands on her, and spirits came into her then. And then when she was born and she was dedicated, more spirits came into her. And then when grandmother gave her this very powerful divination spirit. And so we broke all these curses and began these things came out. And when we came out against the main divination spirit, this girl was absolutely terrified. She said, I can see it. I can see my spirit. It's leaving me. It looks just like me. She said, I'm going to die. I said, no, you're not going to die. That's just, he just wants you to take it back in, wave goodbye to it because you're free. And she said, bye. And that thing hit that wall in there like a cannonball. I mean, I think the building shook. It sounded, I thought a cannonball, a truck had run into the wall as it hit the wall going through. And she was free. And it was my privilege to pray for a number of times. Her story's in the book. But this was a familiar spirit that was passed down the family line. All right, now, when anyone in open fields touches one that is slain by the sword or has died, or bone of a man or grave shall be unclean 7 days. What does that mean? That means that those spirits hadn't found any place to go. They out there in that dead body. Norman Parrish said that they opened the grave and took some of the dust out of the grave and gave it, put it in a burrito and fed it to him. And he became very ill because it was a spirit of death came with it. Sort of a long story. But God delivered him. It's a spirit of death. I've had full open graves and come again and just all sorts of things like that. But the thing is that if you go by the graveyard and God opens your eyes to the spirit world, what you'll see is you'll see demons around some graves and angels around other graves. And those demons, didn't your mother ever tell you not to step on the grave? You know, we used to jump from gravestone to gravestone. God, forgive me. And Mother said, don't judge. Well, here's the reason she quoted it. Damn. Because you can pick up demons. I handled all these bones when I was in medical school, learning bones. I've repented of all those things. You've done those things. You need to repent and ask God to forgive you and command any spirits that might have come into you. If you were in the room when your parents died or your family members died, you need to repent and ask God to forgive you and to cleanse you of any spirits that might have come into you. Talking, trying to scare you. I'm just telling you that you need to do this. God shows you, and He set a way for you to get free. It's in His Word. Then we have Jude, Michael the archangel, contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses. And God sent the Michael the archangel to guard Moses' body to keep the demons out of it. Well, those are familiar spirits. I could talk on for another 3 hours about familiar spirits, but I think we need to move on to something, on to the sins of the fathers, because they are interlocked and interrelated to the sins of the fathers. Now, the character of God, him, Moses, is... Moses is going back up, and God passed before him and proclaimed his name, which is his nature. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, but by no means clearing the guilty. That means by no means leaving the guilty unpunished. If you've got a New American Standard or NIV. Visiting the iniquity on the father of the fathers upon the children to the children's children to the third or the fourth generation. What does that word iniquity mean? That's a Hebrew word. Let's look at that. There we see same thing in Exodus. Forgiving sin, transgression. Sin came from a archery term, which means to shoot at the bullseye and to miss the mark. You know, you just missed the mark. You tried, but you didn't hit it. You were off. You sinned. You transgression means you break the rule to the law. You know the rule, but you break them. You're a transgressor. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. But you're not really in rebellion. You just mess up. You slip. You made a mistake. And you ask God to forgive you. And He will forgive that. Iniquity comes from Strong's word, comes from the Hebrew word avon. Dr. Derek Prince says it's rebellion in all its evil consequences. But it means iniquity means rebellion and the punishment for the rebellion. And that word is translated two ways in the Bible. One is translated rebellion, and the other is translated punishment. And you see this here in Lamentations. The punishment, the avon of the people, of the daughter of my people, is greater than the punishment of the son of Sodom. There's several other places where it's the avon of the avon, the punishment. And if you've got a New American Standard, it says, visiting the punishment upon the children. And so, it means two things. Now, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, visiting means to visit or to appoint. And so, the iniquity is visited or appointed to the children for at least four generations along with the punishment. You mean that sin is going to be repeated in the family? Or the tendency to that sin is going to be repeated? Yeah, there's a demon that's going to be assigned to your family line to make you repeat that. Well, where in the Word of God would such a thing be? Well, let's look. It's accomplished by assigning a spirit to the family that tempts them, i.e., into sin, the family of familial sin. Since the Ten Commandments were spoken by God and accepted by the people, they became a curse if broken. It was coveted. It was a covenant. And the word covenant has curse in it, built into it. When you're in a covenant, you're blessed if you keep it, you're cursed if you break it. That is the meaning of the word. If you're in a covenant relationship and you break that covenant relationship, you're cursed. You're blessed if you keep it. You're cursed if you break it. That's the meaning of the word. And here it says, I shall not bow down to them or worship them. I am your God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. Same thing, just in the Ten Commandments. And there it is in Deuteronomy. Where in Scripture to say that a familiar spirit is assigned to fulfill a curse. Curse of Jonathan, the son of Jerubbaal, or Gibeon. Judges 9:22. Now I want you to open your Bibles because somehow or other we left off the 57th verse. We only have the 56th verse on the PowerPoint, so I want you to open it so you can see it. Open to Judges chapter 9. Open your Bible. Yeah, I would recommend that you read this whole thing on chapter 9 because it's an interesting outworking. Let's look at verse 22. We need verse 23. Verse 22. After Abimelech had reigned over Israel 3 years, God sent a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. That spirit of ill will is the same word used in 1 Samuel 16:14 when he said God sent a distressing spirit upon Saul. It's used a number of other places. You see the 23rd verse is gone. And thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech which he had done to his brothers by killing his 70 brothers. And all the even the men in Shechem, God returned on their own heads, and on them came the curse of Jonathan the son of Jerubbaal. And so the spirit of ill will brought the curse to pass. Examples of a fulfilled curse? Curse of the bastard. 10 generations. Look in Deuteronomy 23:2. It says, a bastard shall not enter the congregation of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. That's King James. New King James says one of illegitimate birth. That sounds better, but bastard has more shock value to it or something. Gets your attention. It is not a curse word. It's a good Bible word. Shall not enter in the congregation of the Lord, even the 10th generation. Now, Howard Fox has got a book back there on the curse of the bastard. I think you all ought to read. I didn't think that. And it goes 10 generations. Then you got any idea what your blood kin doing 400 years ago? I did some genealogy research. I always thought the Noahs were fine, law-abiding Christian people. I mean, Israel Noah, it was Israel Noah, and it was Christian Noah, and I mean, these were just, and I found a whole lot of premature, first babies that were premature. Came in 7 and 8 months, you know, all others, first baby come any time, all others take 9 months. And so I started repenting of the sin of illegitimacy that's come down through 10 generations, 1,000 people. So read what Howard says, how Howard interprets this. It means you shall not enter the congregation of the Lord. I mean, you have trouble entering into the fellowship. You have trouble entering into fellowship with other people. You feel cut off and unloved and unwanted, among other things. And it tracks you and your children. You say, that's just the way we are. Yeah, because of the curse of the bastard. Now, the Israel kings are supposed to come from Judah. It is in the prophecy in Genesis 9. It says, Judah is a lion swelp. From this prey, my son, you have gone. He bows down, he lies down in a lion. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet till Shiloh, which is a type of Jesus, comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. And so the king was supposed to come out of Judah. But Saul, the first king, was from Benjamin, which was not Judah. The curse of the bastard and incest was on Judah because Judah sinned with his daughter-in-law Tamar. And you need to read Genesis 38:1-20. I'm not going to put all the verses up there. But Judah married a Canaanite girl and had 3 children. And his first son married. First son, God killed him because he was wicked. Second son, and he didn't have any children. So his second son took his wife to raise up seed for his brother because his brother didn't have any children to keep his name alive. And he didn't want to have seed because it would be named for his brother. So he spilled his seed on the ground. That displeased God. God killed him. And so God said, Judah said to us, Tamar, why don't you go on home, and when this other boy grows up, I'll send for you. He said, you know, that girl done killed 2 of my boys. I'm going to get another wife for her. And when it came obvious to Tamar that Judah wasn't going to call her back, she disguised herself as a temple prostitute and went sat by the road. When Judah came by, she seduced him. And she became pregnant with twins, and she obtained his seal and his staff, and he accepted her, accepted the children, and so he had 2 boys that were incest and illegitimate. But now, if you look at Judah begot Perez and Tamar, and Perez by Tamar, and then you count these down, and the 10th generation, starting with Judah to Jesse, 10 generation, curse runs out, and the next person is David the king. And that's when the first king of Judah came. 10 generations for that curse to run out. Abram, who became Abraham. You say, well, is there a place in the Bible that we can see where these sins go from one to another? Let's look at Abraham. Abram. He told Abraham, get out of your country and go to me. And so Abraham left, and he was 75 years old, and he took Lot with him. And he went on down to Shechem, and then he went out, and then a famine came in the land. But he did. God didn't tell him to, but he went down to Egypt. Nothing in the Bible said go down to Egypt. So he was in rebellion. He went down to Egypt with his wife. And on the way down there, he looked at Sarah, who was 60, that's a little over 65, and he said, you know, you are a beautiful woman. Them boys down there see you, they're going to kill me to get you. Tell them you're my sister. Well, she was his half-sister. And so he did. Pharaoh took her. And then Abraham was discovered as a liar. And Pharaoh, God blessed Abraham. And so the Pharaoh gave Abraham back his wife, or Abram back his wife, and sent him away. And there came strife in his family. Suddenly he's got strife in his family. There's no mention of strife before, but there's strife between the herdsmen of Lot and Abraham, and they have to separate. And then there's a battle of the kings, and Melchizedek shows up and blesses Abraham, and Abraham gives him a tenth of the spoil. And God appears to Abraham, and he said to Abraham, says, God, you ain't given me any children. The one not born, I don't have anybody born in my household. One of my slaves is going to be my heir. God said no. So he promises him a child. And he took him outside and said, see the stars? That's how many children you're going to have, descendants you're going to have. And Abraham believed him, and God counted it for righteousness. Well, as things went by, he didn't get any children. And so Sarah came to him and said, I'm going to give you my Egyptian handmaiden. And if you go into her and you get her pregnant, that's going to be God's. That's the first fleece. And you get her pregnant, that's going to be the heir. And he had a son named Abraham, who was a wild, rebellious, wild man. The King James said he was a wild ass. Ishmael, what'd I say? Abraham had a son named Ishmael, and he was rebellious, and the King James said he was a wild ass. And if you look that up, you'll find that that word ass is an untrainable donkey. It's a donkey that runs wild in the hills of Judea that you cannot train. It's untrainable. And so he was a wild donkey of a man, just wild and rebellious. And I'm going to tell you, if you want strife in your family, you get a wild, rebellious son. It will cause you heartache. And then God met with him, had a covenant with him, changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of many nations. Told him to circumcise him. And so he got circumcised Ishmael. He was 13 years old. And again, Abraham, you know, things got sort of tough. Had another famine come. So then he went up to the land of the Philistines. And would you believe he got up there and he said, then, honey, these people, they're going to kill me for you. Now, you tell them you're my sister. He lied again. And this time, Abimelech found him out. God appeared to him. He said, you've taken my prophet's wife. And there's a little misunderstanding on exactly how long Sarah stayed in his harem. But it was long enough for Abimelech to realize that his women were no longer getting pregnant because God closed all their wombs. And Abimelech comes back to Abraham and says, pray for my women. He gives him a trespass offering, and he brings his wife back and says, pray for my women, because God's closed all their wombs. And so he did. Abraham prayed for him. And would you believe a year later Sarah had a baby? He sowed into Abimelech's family. And he broke the barrenness of Sarah. 1 year later, she bore him a son. And so we see the spirit of lying repeated. He's got strife in the family now. He's got a rebellious son, but he gets this son. And now he's beginning to have problems with land rights. Folks are stealing from him. He's stealing his water. And over there, you lose the water rights, you lose the land. Sarah dies, and he sends for a servant to get a son for Isaac. Isaac is now 40 years old and brings back Rebecca. But there's a little problem with Rebecca. She's barren too. And Isaac has to pray for her for 20 years before she has a baby. And so he said barrenness is running the family and the line. As Genesis says that afterwards his brother. And so when she had twins, she had twins. His brother came out, his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And so he had two children, Esau. A wild, rebellious man like his uncle Ishmael. And Jacob, called heel grabber or deceiver, a liar like Abraham. And Jacob lies, steals Esau's blessing. And then Jacob has to lead the family, and he goes up to Uncle Laban
And then Laban says, yeah, he falls in love with one of Laban's daughters, his second or third cousin. And he said, yeah, but you're going to have to work 7 years for it. So then Laban goes and gets him drunk and gives him the wrong girl. And Jacob stays there with Laban 20 years. And he has 12 children. And Laban changes his wages and decides to leave. And so when he leaves, his wife, his favored wife, steals the household gods of her father. And Daddy chases him into the desert and catches up with him. And he said, well, I told him, I'm going home. He said, well, why did you steal my gods? And Rachel had taken the household idols and put them in Samuel's cattle, and she sat on them. And Laban searched all the tents. And what Jacob said, he said, you search me, and if you find anything that belongs to you, you get it, and I will kill the person who took it. The person that took it's going to die. Cursed his wife with death. And he couldn't find them. And so when he came into the tent, she put them in the tent, she sat down on them. And when he came into the tent, she said, Dad, I got my period, and I just don't feel good. Forgive me for not getting up. And the old man bought it, didn't look under her dress, and that's where they were. He didn't find them. And you know that Rachel died 2 years later in childbirth. And so he goes on, and his daughter is raped, and Simeon and Levi lie. And a spirit of anger and rage come into them. They tell Shechem, said, yeah, we'll let her marry you if all you boys get circumcised. And so on the third day, when they all sore, they couldn't get up and fight, they took a sword and killed all of them. Stole everything they had. And about that time, Reuben goes and lies with his dad's concubine and loses his birthright, which is then given to Joseph. And so you see, these sexual sins are going down the line. The barrenness is going down the line. The lying is going down the line. And here, what happens? The brothers lie to Jacob. Take Joseph because they're unhappy with him. Joseph is a young teenage kid walking around, and he's got a coat of many colors. It's actually a coat with long sleeves. He had long sleeves, meaning he couldn't work. He had a long coat, long sleeves, and he just walked around and supervised the boys. And Dad sent him out to check on the boys of Bilead, and then he came back and said, them boys ain't doing a good job out there, and they got sort of unhappy with him. Brought a bad report, but he was the elder brother because Reuben had lost him. And so when he goes out, they grab him and throw him down in a well, and then they take his coat and pour blood over it and tear it up and say, is this your son, Shaggy? Yeah, some wild beast has killed my child. And Judah has the bastard twin. We've talked about that before. Brothers lie to Joseph. In the end, Joseph goes to Egypt, becomes the right hand of Pharaoh, sends for his family, tells the brothers to come down. I'm going to take good care of you, not going to have any problems. I'll forgive you. You meant that for evil. God meant it for good. Says, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. When Dad dies, what do? They write this message and send it in. And they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sins. Well, here they're lying again. And so you see how those sins of lying and barrenness and sexual sin just went down through the family. Caused anger and rage to manifest. And lots of other sins and strife in the family. And those are spirits that are assigned to the family, bring about. Now, what are the results of the sins? Open your Bibles to Lamentation. And here in Lamentation chapter 5, you'll see the results of the sins of the fathers. Verse 7 says, our fathers have sinned and are no more. We bear their iniquities. Servants rule over us. Bondage, and none deliver us out of their hands. So bondage is one. Poverty, we get our bread at the risk of our lives. Because of the sword in the wilderness, oppression. Our skin is hot as an oven because of fever and famine, infirmity, rape and abuse. They ravaged the women in Zion and the maidens in the city of Judah. Princes were hung up by their hands and elders are not respected. Hard labor and isolation. The young men grind at the millstones, boys staggering under loads of wood. The elders have ceased gathering at the gate, young men from their music. Sadness and depression. Joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe, we have sinned. Blindness, fear, blindness, and desolation. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. Because of Mount Zion, which is desolate, foxes are walking about on it. Desolate. And so, here is a list. Bondage, poverty, oppression. In other words, you're beneath You're the tail end, always underneath, always the tail end, have starvation and hunger. And you can either be starving to death or you can be hungry all the time and be awfully obese. Infirmity and sickness, rape, seduction, either rape by seduction or by forcible rape, abuse, hard labor, isolation, sadness, heaviness and depression, fallen from prominence. You're beneath, you're the tail end again. Somebody's all over you. You're always the last one in line. Last hide in the first five. Got fear, blindness, and desolation. Those are the curses. How many of y'all got curses like that in your life that you can look at your life and say, dear God, that runs in my family. Those things run in my family. We always just thought it was just something that happened to us. Happens to a lot of people. It's from the sins of the Father. But you know, before Jesus Christ, you were stuck with it. You had to live it out. But Ezekiel prophesied 500 years before Jesus that the curse would end. And it's in Ezekiel 18. The word of the Lord came to me again saying, what do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel saying, the children, the fathers have eaten bitter, sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. I had a child that was dying in the nursery, premature infant. The child was a Jehovah's Witness. Little bitty baby, weighed about 2 pounds. And doing all these blood tests, we needed to give it a transfusion. And you know, Jehovah's Witnesses will let the baby die before they give it a blood transfusion. And it was over the weekend, and I was talking to the mother. Normally, I could talk the mother into it if I could get the family away from her and agree to give it at night so nobody in the family would know. They were willing to transfuse their baby if nobody in the family knew and the church didn't find out. So we would be very secretive about it and not tell the preacher. This lady, she just absolutely refused. And I went home that night and I called this friend of mine who was my spiritual mentor and I talked to him. And he says, the parents of Jehovah's Witnesses, I don't have any grounds to approach God on. No, I can't pray for. And I just began to weep. And God gave me this, parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. And I said, Lord, you said, suffer little children to come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And this was a little child. And I claimed deliverance on the basis of this. And I wept. And the phone rang, and the nurse called me and said, we're having to turn the oxygen down. There's something wrong with this baby, the oxygen requirement. And I said, well, draw a hematocrit, and let's see what the blood level is. He called me back and said, the blood level was now 60. Had been 38, and gets much before 38, the baby will stop, newborn will stop breathing. And back up to 60, which was where you wanted. And that's a little high for an adult, but that's fine for a newborn. Baby the next morning was out of oxygen, was eating. The mother asked me about the blood transfusion the next day, and I told her it wouldn't be necessary. I didn't bother to try to tell her what had happened. She would have declared it was the work of the devil or something. God help them. But he said, in Ezekiel 36, he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I'll take out your heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh to put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and will keep my judgments and do them. That's the new covenant. He said, there's time coming that you will be released from those. And Jesus Christ became a curse for us that we might be redeemed, curse of the law. Galatians 3:13 and 14. And so there is hope in Jesus Christ from the sins of the Father. And there is hope to be delivered from these familiar spirits that have been assigned to your family because of sins of your father. Because of your sin. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He loved you enough to die for you. Greater love hath no man than lay down his life for his friend. We love Him because He first loved us. He loved you while you were yet a sinner. From the foundation of the world, He loved you. And so today we're going to claim deliverance. If we confess our father's sin and our sin and claim our deliverance. In Leviticus chapter 26, it says, But if they will confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness in which they have been unfaithful to me, and they walk contrary to me, and I work contrary to them and brought them to the land of the enemies, the uncircumcised heart are humble, and they accept their guilt. It is necessary that you accept the guilt for your sin, that you be embarrassed by it. One of the things that God said in Jeremiah said, these people have forgotten how to blush. Not one of them is ashamed of what they've done. Accept your guilt. Humble yourself, and He'll set you free. Jesus Christ loves you.
And he wants to set all of you free from the sins of your fathers. The sins that have come down, you know. My father raised me the way he was raised. And the way his father raised him. They were Germans. And they were harsh, legalistic people. And harsh legalism brings rejection. It brings you a feeling that you will never be good enough. No matter how hard you try, not quite good enough. But thank God he's not that way. He looks at your heart. And if you turn to Him with all your heart and soul, He will set you free. And you set your eyes on Him and walk after Him and look not at the world. I was talking to men today. I said, the reason you want to be delivered is first to glorify God, second to be obedient to God, the third to bear fruit to God, that His name might be glorified. And so today we're going to first pray. We're going to pray. We're going to do some prayer. We're going to have what we call a mass deliverance service. Demons, spirits, the word spirit, both Hebrew and Greek, means air or wind, breath. And so spirits tend to come out through the breathing passages. It says, you shall expel, Mark 16 says, you shall expel demons. The word in the King James is cast out, can be translated expel. It means to cough, jerk, because cough, yawn, give a quick jerk, a vomit. And you're going to push that booger out. That's what it means. You're going to cast him out of you. You're going to push him out. I asked all of you to both feet on the floor. Now remember that when you were a little kid, you know, if you crossed your fingers, you said you didn't have to tell the truth. I didn't mean it because my fingers are crossed. But you cross your legs, you cross your feet, you cross your arms, the devil says you don't mean it. And then I'm going to lead you in a general confession, and then I'm going to call out the names of spirits. Listen to what's being said and agree with it in your mind. Do not pray in tongues. Do not call on the name of Jesus. We're going to call and we're going to do that before we start pushing demons out. But if you're praying in tongues, or calling on the name of Jesus, well, a demon will not come out over that. You have one orifice, two fountains, your mouth. You want the demons to come out, or God's praise to come out. They both can't come out together, generally. And so you don't pray in tongues. There's time for praying in tongues is when you get through and you praise God. And time to shout and holler is when we get them out. That's the time to praise Him. But until that, you concentrate in your mind. You set your mind on it and you push like you're having a baby. Push it out. And let what happens happen. I'm not asking for manifestations, but if one comes, don't choke it. Just let it happen. Stephen and Stephen's ministry in Acts chapter 8, verse 6 says, multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles, which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were paralyzed, possessed, many who were paralyzed, and the lame were healed. So if a scream comes out, let it come out. Don't stop it. Just let it go. Some of them come down, they come out with a scream. Sure. You worried about your dignity? Get your dignity back. You got to choose between having keeping your dignity and your demons. Let your demons go. You can get your dignity back. I've been vomited on, spit on. I've been covered with vomitus. I have to go take a shower, but it don't bother me. First time I got deliverance was right there. Right there on that second roll right there. It threw me on the floor and I vomited and I rolled in my own vomit. I got up, I was covered with vomitus. But you know, I came up shouting, oh God, thank you. That's sort of a long story. A guy came up and complained to that. I'd been here 2 days and nothing had happened. I came up and complained to the main speaker and told him I'd come here at great personal expense. And complained that I hadn't gotten any deliverance. And he said, well, maybe tonight will be your night. That's all he said. Walked off. And that night he got up and said, God, give me a special list here to pray for. He had my list. And he called out the first demon. That's when I hit the floor. And he called the next one, I rolled. And then he called out another one, I vomited again. And when he got through, I was covered with vomitus. And poor brother Doug come over and he laid back like this. And he's standing back about like this praying for me. We'll get close. But you can get your dignity back. Let your demons go. Okay? Some people, they just hold on. He don't make a fool out of me. You get to keep him. Your demons, you get to keep him. You can walk out of here with them. That's up to you. Or you can let them go. I've been in the deliverance ministry now since 1981. And I've seen lots of things. But everybody always gets their dignity back. I've been thrown through five rows of folding chairs, and all hit the ceiling up here. Never been hurt. They actually hit these tiles. I mean, this boy did this once, and I hit the tiles and landed 4 feet over. Never been hurt. God will protect you. I was in a little first in a little Assembly of God church and praying for this thing, and I got thrown about 20 feet, and I did two flips in the air and hit on my back.
Came up off the floor. I had chased that demon, man.
He said, Doc, no, did you know that you made two flips in the air and went 20 feet and hit fat on your back on that concrete?
It didn't hurt. I said, did you see the angels there that were catching me?
Remember this, if you're in the Spirit of God, He will not let you get hurt. You have nothing to fear. People say, well, them demons come out of them, they're going to come into me. Oh,
demons. When you cast out a demon, God ties him up with chains.
Well, I was sleeping once, woke up one morning, and I felt this heavy weight on my chest. And when I opened my eyes, it was this big cobra snake coiled up on my chest. And he was looking at me, and I was looking at him, and he was all hooded out, his little beady eyes looking down at me, his little tongue coming in and out. And, you know, being God's man of faith, and pulled a cover up over my head. Hid from him. And this sweet little voice said, bind him. So I pulled the cover, and I said, I bind you in Jesus' name. And a hand came out of nowhere, put a shackle and a chain on this one, and then another hand here, and I'm in three chains. And then they tightened him up, and they pulled that 20-foot snake out of my bedroom. And I looked as he went out the door, this big black wood of spider. It had a body as big as a zinc wash tub with a big hourglass on it. He's coming in. Black, man, meanest-looking thing. I said, I bind you too in Jesus' name. His hand, same hand, he bound that thing up, tightened up those chains, and away he went. And he was gone. There's an open vision. And I said, And I wasn't sure what all that meant. So I came down here and talked to Jim and Mildred Coffey. And we agreed we would fast and pray and ask God for revelation. That afternoon, that night, Jim said, Doc, you've been blessed. What do you mean? He said, God has shown you what happens to a demon when you bind him. I said, oh, in the spirit world. And then God witnessed to me, Psalm 149, he says, with the high praises of God in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand, you shall bind their nobles with chains and iron. This privilege has all the saints. But, oh, I see, Lord. Well, why is it, Lord, when I bind that thing, it's harassing me and it just keeps on? He gave me another vision. And I was walking down the road and this long line of demons was walking. One of them was whispering in my ear. And there was a line that went up over the hill, man. And they were walking lockstep. And when I'd bind one of them, the angels would tie him up and haul him off. Another one would step right up and just keep right on harassing like nothing had happened. And I said, oh. And God made me understand that the devil's only got a finite number. He doesn't have an infinite number of demons. He's got a finite number. He's got so many. And when he's lost 200 of his troops, you know, he says, you know, that ain't working too well. And so he'll move the mouse around on the computer and say, I'll try this. This worked against his granddaddy. He'd come and try another method. He says, we're not ignorant of the wiles of the devil. That word is methodius, which means methods. You've got methods. And so he'll try something else. He'll depart for a more opportune time. So today we're going to cast out spirits in the name of Jesus. Everybody stand up now. I didn't mean to get into that long dissertation. But everybody stand up now and let's praise God. It said that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. You need to get your blood circulating out of your legs and your rear end and back up to your brain. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord God. Oh, God, we thank you and we praise you and we bless you, Lord God. Praise Him, people. Oh, God. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Say, dear Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. He died on the cross for my sin. Was raised from the dead on the third day for my justification. He ascended into heaven. He sits on the right hand of God the Father, ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I am a child of the living God. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in me.
I thank you, Lord.
I confess
the sins of my ancestors
and my sin.
I confess the sins of adultery,
of incest,
of whoredom,
idolatry,
rape,
vagabond,
returning evil for good.
In the name of Jesus,
I break all these curses.
In Jesus' name,
on me
and my seed forever.
Your word says,
if we will confess our sin,
you are faithful and just
to forgive our sin
and to cleanse us
of all unrighteousness.
Oh Lord God,
I accept your cleansing.
I bind all these spirits
to the sign of my family line.
I loose myself from them.
From all the evil spirits
assigned to my family line.
I break their power.
I loose myself
in the heavens
from all sins of my fathers
and all of my sins
in the name of Jesus Christ.
I bind these things
and I command them to go
in Jesus' name.
For it is written,
Joel 2:32.
Anyone
calls on the name of the Lord
shall be delivered.
Lord, I forgive
anyone
who's ever hurt me,
who's ever abused me,
manipulated me
in any way.
I forgive them, Lord.
I ask you to bless them, Lord God.
In the name of Jesus,
Lord, I specifically
confess the sins
of idolatry
from the magic arts
and from whoredom.
Set me free, Lord God.
I confess my sin.
I break the curse.
I cleanse myself
with the blood of Jesus Christ.
I thank you, Lord.
I break the curse,
and I cast them out
in Jesus' name.
I confess
that I am not a rejected child.
Ephesians 1:6-7.
In Him
we have redemption,
the forgiveness of sin,
according to the riches of His grace,
under His blood.
I thank you, Lord,
whereby I've been made
accepted in the Beloved.
I have been redeemed
and accepted.
I am not a rejected child.
The blood of Jesus
cleanses me,
redeems me,
makes me acceptable.
Thank you, Lord.
Now in Jesus' name,
I bind
and I cast these things out,
and I loose myself from them
in the name of Jesus.
And I command you to go now.
In Jesus' name. Everybody take a deep breath. Take a deep breath and let it go. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out. All the sins of the Father. Come on out. All the sins of the fathers. We break the power of the sins of the fathers in the name of Jesus. We break the power of it now. Let them go.
Let them go. Come out, Kali. Come out, Sylvie. Come out. Come out.
In the name of Jesus.
All the spirits of whoredom and idolatry and returning evil for good and witchcraft. Come out.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we break your power. We break the curse of poverty now.
The curse of the bastard. The curse of poverty.
Come on out. The curse of poverty. Let them go.
Go. Come on out. Poverty.
Old man in rags. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ.
Let them go.
Let them go.
Let them go.
The curse of poverty.
In the name of Jesus.
The old man in rags. Come out
in the name of Jesus.
Come out in the name of Jesus.
I break its power.
All of it.
In the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of learning disabilities in the name of Jesus Christ, of dyslexia, of attention deficit disorder. Come out of cerebral palsy. Come out. Come out. Come out. I break your power now. I break the power. Come down through the curse of whoredom. Come out in the name of Jesus. The curse of idolatry. The curse of the Masons. The curse of the Eastern Star. The curse of all the fraternal organizations. All the occult organizations. I break the power. Let them go. Let them go. Come out. Come out. You can't. Now, in the name of Jesus, I loose you from your assignment on them. I bind you and cast you out. In the name of Jesus. All God's folks said, amen. Amen. Hold up your hands now and let your spirit flow in now. In the name of Jesus. Let them flow, river. Flow, river. Let the river flow into them. Everybody have a seat. Both feet on the floor now. Don't cross your hands or your feet. I bind the spirits of rejection, Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of rejection that came down the family line of never being good enough. Come on out. All that rejection now. That denial of love. I wasn't good enough. Nobody loved me. Come on out. That denial of love. Come out. Come on out. Have to work for love. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Have to work for love. Come out in the name of Jesus. Gotta try harder. I break its power. I break its power. I command it to come out. Come out. Come out. All the fear. Fear of not being good enough. Come on out. Fear of not being loved. Fear of being rejected. I break its power. Let them go. Come on out. Fear. Fear. Spirit of fear. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. All you spirits of fear. Fear of not being good enough. Come out. I break the power of fantasy now. Fantasy. In the name of Jesus, all the fantasy spirits, all daydreaming spirits, all idolatry spirits, come out. All fantasy spirits, imagination spirits, if-only spirits, I'll get even spirits. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break your power. Let them go. All fantasy spirits, all sports fantasy now. All fantasy, sports fantasy, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All riches fantasy, come out. All fantasy for riches, in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. I break your power. All fantasy. Get even fantasies. Come out. Come out. I'm going to get even with them. I ain't going to fix them. Come out. All those witchcraft spirits. All the witchcraft fantasy. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. All that fantasy in the name of Jesus Christ leads you. Come out. Come out. Come out. Leads you into dysfunctional sex. Come out. All dysfunctional sex spirits. Come out. All dyspareunia. Come out in the name of Jesus. All dry intercourse, come out in the name of Jesus. All ED, come out in the name of Jesus. I break your power. Everybody take a deep breath and cough now. Come on. I want everybody to cough. Come on out. Hold it down because scared somebody's going to see you. Come out, ED, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, dyspareunia. Come out, anorenia. Come out. No sexual drive. Come out in the name of Jesus. I break your power. Come out. Come out. All of you, in the name of Jesus, all masturbation, come out in the name of Jesus. All self-pleasuring, come out. All oral genital sex, come out. All abnormal sex, come out. All dysfunctional sex, all the spirits of the peeping Tom and the flasher, and the come out in the name of Jesus. All sadomasochism, come out. Everybody call. Sadomasochism, come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, all homosexuality, all man-hating spirits, all fear of women. Come out in the name of Jesus. Call. Come out of there. All homosexual spirits, all lesbian spirits. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out. Out. I break your power. Come out of these people. You got no right to people of God. You can't torment them anymore. In the name of Jesus. I break the power of all pedophilia. Come out. I break your power. All perverse spirits. The spirit of the depraved mind. Come out, the reprobate mind. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you. I break the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And I bind it, and I break its power, and I command it to go. The lust of the eye. Come out. Pornography. Commography. Come out. Lechery. Come out. Peeping Tom. Come out. Staring. Stalking. Come out in the name of Jesus. All staring spirits, stalking spirits. Come out. All, that's right, come out in the name of Jesus. All staring spirits, sleeping spirits, come out. All pornography, out, out, out. All lust of the eye, come out. All the lust of the eye, come out in the name of Jesus. All lusting after jewelry, lusting after money, lusting after big houses, lusting after fine clothes, come out in the name of Jesus. I break your power. I command you to come out of these people in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. Be gone. Be gone. I break the power of witchcraft now. Control people around you. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. All witchcraft control in the name of Jesus, a position of power of money. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of witchcraft. Oh, Jezebel. Jezebel, I'm speaking to you. Jezebel. Tika. Tika. I break the curse of abortion in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of Moloch and Shamush in the name of Jesus. I break it back 10 generations. In the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody take a deep breath and cough. Push that curse of abortion out of your family. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of there, abortion. Come out. Back for 10 generations. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All the abortion, the Moloch, Shamush, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All Moloch and Shamush, come out. In the name of Jesus. Tinka, come out in the name of Jesus. Diana, come out. Celebi, come out. Celebi. Celebi, come out, Celebi. The spirit of Celebi, the spirit of monotasm, with his static dance. Come out, static dance and singing. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power, Celebi. Yes, all come out. All astrology now. All astrology come out. All horoscopes in the name of Jesus. All horoscopes. Anybody who's ever read the horoscope, push it out. We break the curse of the horoscope in the name of Jesus. Come out. Fully 50% of you read the horoscope. Come out in the name of Jesus. Well, I don't believe it. Yeah, God says it's adultery to him. Come out. He said it's unfaithfulness. It's adultery. I break the power of adultery in the name of Jesus. I break the power of the horoscope in the name of Jesus Christ. The power of the Ouija board. Come out. Come out. The crystal ball, the Ouija board, the card layer, the fortune teller. I break the curse of the fortune teller. There are 10 people in here under the curse of the fortune teller. It's come down through their family line. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse of the fortune teller that their eyes will be opened. Lift off of them, you foul spirits. Lift off in the name of Jesus Christ. All the fortune telling spirits, come off their eyes in the name of Jesus. Let the scales drop off of them in the name of Jesus. All the fortune-telling spirits in the name of Jesus. We break the power of it in the name of Jesus. Come out! Come out! Come out! Come out! In Jesus' name, all fear. Fear of not being good enough. I bind the fear of not being good enough. Come out, the grasshopper spirit. I'm going to withdraw. I'm going to hide. I'm going to put it off. I'm not going to face it. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All the grasshopper spirits. I'm going to go back into bondage. I'm going to look at pornography. I'm going to do something I want to do. I'm not going to think about those things I don't want to do. Come out in the name of Jesus. All those. Come out. 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 In the name of Jesus. I break your power. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All self-pity spirit. All spirits of pull me. Pull me. Come out. Pull me. Come out. Why me? Why me? Why has everybody else got it so good and I got it so hard? Poor me. Come out, poor me. Come out of there. Self-pity. Come out. Self-pity. Self-hatred. Speak to self-hatred spirits. Come out. Self-hatred spirit. Mutilation spirit. Self-mutilation spirit. Come out. I don't like my body. I want to change it. I want to put earrings in. Come out. I'm going to put earrings in. I'm going to pierce my tongue. I'm going to pierce my belly. I'm going to get a tattoo. I'm going to get a hair change. I'm going to get curves in, curves there, and I'm going to the plastic surgeon, and I'm going to have a beautiful body that people will lust after. Come out in the name of Jesus. I don't like I'm going bald. I'm going to get hair on my head. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. All self-hatred spirits. All spirits of self-hatred. Come out in the name of Jesus. Be gone! Be gone! Come out! Come out! We bind you. We break you power in the name of Jesus. All spirits of Jezebel, all you rebellion spirits, I bind you. Pride! I come against the spirit of pride! Pride! Come out, pride. They were proud. They were rebellious and went back into bondage. They were stubborn and would not hear. Come out, all you rebellious, stubborn spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you Jezebel spirits. I'm speaking to Jezebel. I'm speaking to Jezebel. Come out of there. All you men got Jezebel spirits in you when you try to control your wife. Come out in the name of Jesus. Try to control your children. Try to control your employees. Come out. Come out. All you Jezebel spirits. Come out of these men. Come out of there, Shinga. Shinga. I speak to you. You pastors that can try to control your flock. You got a Jezebel in you. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. I break your power in the name of Jesus Christ. Try to control them through guilt. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. Everybody take a deep breath and push Jezebel out. Come on, push them out. Push out Jezebel. Come out, Jezebel, all the Antichrist spirit. Come against the spirits of Lamaze. Come against the spirits of yoga. Come against the spirits of transcendental meditation. Come out, spirits of martial arts. Come out, all you Jezebel spirits. All you Jezebel spirits, come out. All you martial arts Jezebel spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All you spirits of violence and rage and hatred, come out. Come out. Came in through martial arts. Come out. Came in through meditating on martial arts. Come out. Come against Heba. Heba. Come out. All you evil soul ties to the past. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, you spirits of the Chalma. I break your power. I bind you. I break your power. I say, come out of God's people. You got no right to God's people. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. All you stubborn spirits. You stubborn spirits. All you pecking spirits. Stubborn witchcraft spirits. Come on, unteachable spirits. Come out. All spirits of being unteachable. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Unteachable spirits. Come out. Stubborn spirits. Unteachable spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. Out. Out. Out in the name of Jesus. I bind you now in Jesus' name. You foul devils, I bind you. I just bind you now in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirits now of rebellion, shame, humiliation. Break the curse of the false covering. They went down into Egypt and they devised a covering, but not of my spirit. They went down to Egypt to trust in the shadow of Pharaoh and the strength of Egypt. Therefore, it shall be their shame and humiliation. I break the curse of shame and humiliation. I break the curse of the false covering and command shame and humiliation to come out. Now, come on out, shame and humiliation. Let them go. Let them go. Come out. Shame and humiliation. Come out. Come on out. All the shame. Come out. Shame. Come out in the name of Jesus. Taking other people's shame. Taking other people's shame. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out, being ashamed. He holds your head up because of what others have done. Come out. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go, being humiliated. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of humiliation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Break the spirit of paranoia. Come on out, paranoia. He's got it in for me. Jealousy, rage, in the name of Jesus, hallucinations. I break the power in the name of Jesus, and I bind it and I break its power. Come against the spirits of infirmity. Jesus Christ was made a curse for us so we might be delivered from the curse of the law. He became our healing. By His stripes we have been healed. I break the power of headaches now in the name of Jesus Christ. Witchcraft headaches, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Command you to turn them loose. Migraine headaches, witchcraft headaches, I break your power. I bind you in Jesus' name. I command you to be gone. Witchcraft headaches, come out. Migraine headaches, tension headaches, all headaches, come out. Come on out. All tension in the back, tension in the neck, tension in the shoulders, tension in the muscles. Come out. Come out. All migraine headaches, all high blood pressure headaches, come out. All tension behind the eyes, all witchcraft behind the eyes. I speak to Jezebel in the third chakra. Come out, Silva, Silva, Savannah in the third chakra. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. I speak to the congestion in the sinuses. Be gone. All allergies, I bind you and I break your power. I speak to blindness. I speak to macular degeneration. I speak to cataracts. Be gone. Macular degeneration, be healed in the name of Jesus. Cataracts, be healed. Nearsighted, farsighted in the name of Jesus. Glaucoma, eye problems, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Dry eyes, I say be lubricated in the name of Jesus. I say eyeballs in the name of Jesus. Ears, I speak to deafness. I bind the death spirits. Come out, death spirit. Come out. All death spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. 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 Let her go. Let her go, Jezebel. Yes, come on out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Let her go. Go, 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 go. In the name of Jesus. Let her go in the name of Jesus. All death spirits, come out. The death and dumb spirit, I bind you and I break your power. Command you to leave her. Let her go. Let her go now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the death and dumb demon. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Let her go in Jesus' name, you death and dumb spirit. In the name of Jesus. Come against carious teeth now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of carious teeth in the name of Jesus. All spirits of gingivitis and periodontal disease, I say be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, fill the teeth. Fill the teeth, Lord. Lord, ask you to put gold crowns in their mouth, Lord, in the name of Jesus, so they know you've been there. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Touch them. Touch them, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of pneumonia. In the name of Jesus. All bronchiectasis. All pneumonia. All bronchitis. All asthma. All bronchospastic disease. In the name of Jesus, I command you to be gone. And speak healing to them in the name of Jesus Christ. And command you to leave now. In the name of Jesus. I break your power. Come against gastroesophageal reflux. Be gone. In the name of Jesus, duodenal ulcers, colitis, duodenitis, Crohn's disease, pancreatitis, come out. Pyelitis, come out. Nephritis, come out. Urethritis, come out. Cystitis, I bind you all. I bind prostatitis, vaginitis, cystitis, cervicitis. In the name of Jesus Christ, I come against the spirits of chlamydia. Chlamydia, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All the chlamydia be gone in the name of Jesus. All human papillomaviruses, I bind you. Come against the spirits of cancer. Cancer, I break your power. And I command you to go. Go in Jesus' name. All cancer, come out. Be gone, cancer. Diabetes, arthritis, fibromyalgia, I bind you all. Command you to go. Go. Speak healing and restoration now. Touch them, Lord. Everybody hold up their hands now and stand up. Praise you, Lord God. Oh, God, just let your spirit flow into them now, Lord God. Let your spirit flow, rubber. Flow. Flow, rubber. Hallelujah. Flow, Lord. Let your love flow into them. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.